Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back, everyone. If you've just joined us, this is the Mid-Morning Empowerment Weekend Edition. And right now we're about to get into the segment where we talk about our favorite Bible characters. Now, remember that you are welcome to share who your favorite Bible character is on +27734703520. Just indicate your interest in participating in the segment and we will get back to you, and you'll be able to share with us in a future segment talking about your favorite Bible character. You can also find us on Facebook on AWRSID Media, and on Twitter we are at @AWRSID_media, and on Instagram @AWR_SID Media. You can also find us on TikTok as well. All right, so let's get into my favorite Bible character that I would like to focus on today. I know every week is like I'm talking about my favorite Bible character. How many could there be? I did say when we first introduced the segment, that I have so many. So when you hear me talking about my favorite Bible character, next week I'll come up with another one until one of you decide to pop up and share who your favorite Bible character is. And guess what? Whoever your favorite Bible character is will probably also be another one of my favorites as well. So there's enough love for all of them. Today, the one on the spotlight is the nameless thief on the cross. Now, his powerful story is told in the book of Luke, chapter 23. And for context, those who might not be that familiar with the story, he was one of two thieves that were crucified next to Jesus. And you'll remember the first criminal mocked Jesus while they were there on the cross. He was like, "Why don't you save yourself? Like, why are you even..." You know, why are you still up there? Completely clueless, having no understanding of what was actually happening. This was not just any kind of death. This was not any kind of sentence. This was an innocent man, the Son of God, who was actually laying down his life for the sake of a sinner such as himself. But like a fool, he allowed that opportunity to pass him by. But the penitent thief defended Jesus. And he was so humble about it. He said, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he pleaded with Jesus to remember him. He said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And this desperate and humble cry for mercy, that was all that God needed to welcome him into the family of God. So we see Jesus there saying, "Truly I say to you today that you will be with me in paradise." And that is such an incredible story for so many reasons. When you think about a man who had literally led his entire life in opposition to God, his entire life. There is no record of him having been maybe a pathfinder when he was younger, or having been a youth leader at some point. As far as we can tell, for all intents and purposes, this was a career criminal. I don't think that, you know, after one little misdeed, he would be sentenced to death. I for that sentence, my assumption is that he must have been up to some serious, serious crimes, right? But in that moment, by the mercy of God, he was saved in his dying moments. And this demonstrates what a humble heart can do. When you cry out to God for your salvation, God will hear you. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's a few lessons that I glean from the story of this nameless thief on the cross. And the first one would be that it's a simple one. There are consequences for actions. Okay, like I said, we can make the assumption that this was not a sentence for his first crime. It wasn't some petty crime. He probably started with something small, as we all do. And little by little, his life started to snowball into something that earned him that nameless title of the thief on the cross. And tying into that same lesson, if you had to be called by your real title, attached to who you really are, not the name that you cover up with, right? It's easy to hide behind the name Swangile, hide behind John or Zanele. But while we do that, then we point fingers at the quote-unquote real sinners out there. Those whose sin is public, the ones whose sin is obvious, the one whose sin is in your face. But can you imagine if you had to carry a title like the thief on the cross did? Some of our rightful names would be liar, gossiper, adulterer, disloyal, thief, murderer. And the list could go on and on. If we were given names literally in line with who we've been, with who we are, like the thief on the cross. And so I would encourage you, based on that lesson, to slow down on the judgment. When you see someone out there whose sin has been exposed, or someone who is, sometimes it's not even that it's been exposed. Sometimes someone's not even trying to hide it. They're not even, it's not something they're ashamed of or trying to quit. They're proudly in their sin. Be very careful not to point any fingers, because whatever you call them, you have a name as well that doesn't appear on your birth certificate or your driver's license. You have a name that the judgment will know. You have a name attached to your being, attached to the way that you've lived your life, to the way that you're living your life right now. What do you want that name to be? It's unfortunate we don't know this thief's name, but I think that there's a lesson in that, and I think there's a reason for that. There is a reason that we don't know his name. And I think God wants us to recognize that, as much as we can point our fingers at the next person and say, that person is this and that person is that, to recognize that you too could easily be labeled by the life that you've lived or the life that you are currently living. So slow down on the judgment of other people's downfalls or other people's weaknesses. And then another lesson that I see here, I really appreciate that we see the thief taking accountability for his actions, right? He says to his friend, listen, we deserve what we're getting, right? We've been up to no good, and we've been up to it for a while, right? But this man here, he's done nothing. He's not supposed to be here. He says, do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. He is taking accountability for his actions. And it's so easy to get caught up in feeling sorry for ourselves, right? We make ourselves the victim, the innocent party in any story. I believe any humanitarian or human rights organization would look at the story of the crucifixion and say, you cannot do that to a human being. I don't care what crime they've committed. You cannot hang someone on a cross. That is inhumane. And in doing that, it would be very easy for that thief on the cross to also feel that same way. This is inhumane. I know that I've committed heinous crimes against the community, but you cannot do this to a human being, right? It's so easy to turn ourselves into the victim and to be the innocent party in any story. We focus more on how someone has responded to our crime against them. We do something wrong to someone else, and then when they respond in kind, or maybe even worse, then suddenly we're the victim. And yet, to use the line of a two-year-old, you started it. Right? It's so common and so easy to be able to do that. But we really need to learn to accept our own role in our own unfortunate circumstances. We need to learn to take responsibility for our circumstances, as well as our role as villain in someone else's story. So don't forget about that. Sometimes you are the villain in someone else's story, and you need to accept that. Don't make excuses for it. Don't try to explain it away. It is what it is. And the sooner you accept it, the sooner something can be done about it. That's the thing. The more you keep holding on to this portrayal that you've created of your own reality that is separate from the real thing, then you can't fix the situation and you can't seek help. God can't forgive you if you think you don't need forgiveness. As they say, you cannot correct what you don't confront. So you need to be real with yourself. Be real with your position and with your actions. Take accountability for your actions. The third lesson, we see the thief confessing his helplessness, and he confesses to the correct person. I mean, like I said, when you think about these human rights organizations and all of that, he could have pleaded to the crowd. He could have pleaded to the soldiers to get him off the cross and have mercy on him. Who knows? I mean, when you think about the bloodlust in that moment, the bloodlust for the innocent Jesus' life, they could have let the thief off the hook. They could have. But he seemed to know that his hope was not in anyone else, but that other man on the cross, the one facing the same fate as himself. So the lesson here is, take your problems to the right person. Fam, your homegirl cannot save you. Your mom can't save you. Your BFF cannot fix it. Your wife doesn't have the answers. The bank doesn't know what to do with you, right? Only God can save you. And God will do it properly. No T's and C's. Just give it to Jesus. The thing is, there's literally no downside. There is no risk when you give your burden to Jesus. Not one, not a single one. He's not going to tell your secret to the next person. He's not going to point his finger at you and berate you for your poor behavior. There is no downside to giving your burden to Jesus. You don't believe me? All right, let me tell you about lesson 4 as we wrap this up. And this is the best lesson of them all. Jesus saves. That's it. That's the lesson. Jesus saves. You can insert applause here and we can wrap it up and call it a day. Jesus saves. This man was literally moments away from death, right? No chance to show his changed behavior. There was no chance to prove himself. There was no time for him to get baptized, right? He wasn't a member of any church. But at the moment that he confessed his helplessness, Jesus saved him and promised him a place in his kingdom. I don't know how long you've been running. I don't know what prison has got you feeling trapped. I don't know what your sin might be. But as long as you still have breath within you, Jesus can save you if you only ask. That's it. You just need to ask. No strings attached. Your resume doesn't matter. The Bible tells us, Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So those are the lessons that I get from the story of the thief on the cross. And it's such an encouraging story when I think about my own life, my own situation, my own weaknesses, my own pitfalls in my life. And I hope that you've been blessed by that story as well. I hope that as you look at your life, you will realize that there are consequences for actions. There's no need to judge the next person. I hope that you'll take accountability for your actions. Confess your helplessness to the correct person and ask him to save you. That's all it takes. That's all you need to do to step into the life that God has intended for you. I'd love to hear what lessons you've learned from the story of the nameless man on the cross, the nameless thief on the cross. But right now, we are going to take a short break. Send those lessons through to +27734703520 as we get into our music takeover. When we come back, we'll be getting into our mid-morning chat for this morning. All right, this is the Mid-Morning Empowerment on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. My name is Swangile Lugube, and so blessed to be with you this morning. Don't go away.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.